This morning I want you to once again turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And for the sake of emphasis, I'll read again verses 24 through 26, reading from the New American Standard. Here the Bible says, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." In this text, the Apostle Paul talks about how the servant of the Lord is to interact with those who are not saved, with those who have not yet come to be in the body of Jesus Christ, with those who have not yet been baptized for the remission of their sins, with those who have not come to understand that there is but one church according to the scriptures that we read. And he points out that there's a certain way that you have to interact with individuals who don't fully know Christ. Paul explains their condition, and he also gives us a message. And this message is of hope and recovery. So this morning, our lesson and the title of the lesson is On the Road to Recovery. On the Road to Recovery. It's interesting to note, some things are hard to recover from. It's hard to recover from alcoholism. You must abstain from drinking because it has such an effect on the body. It causes us to become addicted to it. It causes our bodies to cry out for it. And so it's a hard thing to be able to recover from alcoholism. In Proverbs 20 and verse number 1, the wisdom writer says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise." In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation," or King James says, "excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We certainly see that it has some powerful effects on the body. And it can be very difficult to break loose from that kind of addiction. Matter of fact, we need some help. We need a support group. We need someone to hold us up. We need someone who we can call in the middle of the night when the cravings are strong. We need someone to say, "No, don't take the one drink, because if you take the one drink, you're going to fall back into taking so many drinks that you're going to be totally inebriated." Groups like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and others are support groups to help them get through it. We even need medical attention because this disease does many things to the body. After a while, it's a craving, and at first it begins as a craving and an indulgence, but it gets to the point that it begins to tear down, begins to wear out and destroy even the body. And so we need medical attention. It's hard to recover from drug addiction. Today, there's a big issue going on with addiction to pain kills. I think painkiller medications, and they call it opioid, I believe, addiction. Even many of our recording artists have had to deal with this. Prince was a victim of that because he, all of his gyrations and moves on stage that people said, tore up his body. And so he was in pain constantly, trying to keep the pain down, and got to the point that he just took too many and his body couldn't continue to function with all of that kind of medication in his body. They even today, and I think police and certainly emergency responders have this life-saving dose that they give folks who have overdosed on opioids. And so then we see that we have to go through some stuff when you get addicted and you get hung up. And as we look at these scriptures, I'm going to bring it home. I want us to understand that many times we don't really understand just what is going on, but there's something going on that Paul talks about. But I'm going to get there in a minute. But I want us first to see that in order to recover, we have to do some things. We've got to go through a detox period. Can be a time when you want to tear the walls down and they have to pad the walls because you're literally going out of your mind. Sometimes they'll take a drug and they'll replace it with a different drug, not as strong, just to kind of bring you down from where you are. Am I talking to anybody this morning? See, I read a lot and I watch things, okay? I ain't been there. All right. But I hope I'm talking to somebody this morning. It's hard to recover from a heart attack or a stroke. You need special medical attention. You need clot-busting drugs. You might need a stent or stents. You need blood thinners and these kinds of things to get you back on the road to recovery. You may have to spend some time in rehab to strengthen and to regain abilities that once came real easy in order to talk, to walk, and to do those kinds of things. It's hard to recover from a bankruptcy. Am I talking to anybody this morning? It takes about 7 years, I understand. I ain't never been there, but I hear. You can't buy a car, you can't buy a house, and you got to look and find some cosigners or else you ain't going to get nothing, amen? Am I talking to anybody this morning? But it's possible to get on the road to recovery. It's possible to get on the road to recovery from alcoholism. It's possible to get on the road to recovery from drug abuse. It's possible to get on the road to recovery from physical things that have debilitated you and have knocked you flat on your back. It's possible, can I get an amen, to get on the road to recovery? And it's possible, even if you have been broken, even if you've been down and out, it's possible to get on the road to recovery, to financial well-being. Is that all right this morning? Right about now, maybe we should talk a little bit about what does it mean to recover. To recover is to regain health and strength. To recover is to regain control of your mind and your body. To receive back that which was lost. To once again have composure. To have control. To obtain something that you have sought, even in the courts, to recover. I'm just talking about recovering and recovery this morning. To recover from illness is a great thing, amen? To recover in any kind of way, we can say thank God. To recover is to be restored. Oh, David wanted a recovery in his life at one time. In Psalms 51, verse 10 and 12, we hear David pleading with God, Lord, give me a recovery. God, I want to get back where I was before. Lord, I want to have that pep in my step. Lord, I want to have that joy. And here's what David said. He says, create in me, create a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, and restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. David wanted a recovery. David had sinned with Bathsheba, and David was feeling the after effects, and David was feeling the shame, and David was feeling the hurt and the pain, and he said, Lord, I just want to get back where I was. Lord, if you'll just lift me up, if you'll just put my feet back on solid ground, I'm looking for a recovery. Anybody ever been there? David was looking for a recovery. To have wellness again, be it known that you're on the road to recovery. If you've been in the hospital, if you've been laying on your back, if they have had to put IVs in you, if they have had to open you up and do some marvelous stuff, just know one thing when you come home. Know one thing when they give you a prescription and when they dismiss you. Know that you're on the road to recovery. Oh, it's a beautiful thing to recover. God makes recovery possible. He makes it possible through reconciliation as one thing. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given mankind a recovery because he brought about reconciliation. Man couldn't reach God, but God could reach man. So God reached down and reached out to man in order to bring him back. Oh, yes, God was working on a great recovery for us. Recovery comes from forgiveness. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 7, it talks about how in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins through his wonderful grace. The Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If God is able to forgive us of our sins, and it brings about a recovery, or only through God. And God anoints us with some grace and some mercy. In John 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says that the law was realized through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Oh, you see, it's one thing to say, here's what you ought to do. It's another thing when God says, here's what you were supposed to do. You didn't do it, but I am going to lift you up. I am going to set you back anyway on solid ground. And so then, it's a big difference between the law and grace and mercy. And then we have answered prayers. In John 16 and 23, Jesus talking to his beloved disciples, he says, in that day, you will not question me about anything. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Amen. Is that all right? And let me tell you, in James chapter 5 and verse number 16, James says that we ought to we ought to confess our faults one to another. And we ought to pray one for another. That the, King James, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. New American Standard, it accomplishes much. Now I want to bring it home. We need to understand that the hardest thing to recover from is sin. Are you with me? In verse 26, notice what he said. In verse 25 and 26, he said, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. It's a lot of folk trying to be religious, but they don't have the truth. It's a lot of folk seeking, but they don't have the truth. So then it says that they may come to their senses. The American Standard said that they might recover themselves and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Sin captivates. Sin captivates. Sin traps us. And when we are in sin, it keeps us under the influence of Satan. Are you still with me now? Sin clouds our judgment. Look at the prodigal son when he left and went wild and crazy, spending up all of his daddy's money. It says when he came to himself, he said, "Why, in my father's house, even the hired servants have more than enough." You see, he wasn't thinking about how much food was in his father's house until he got to rock bottom. See, he was captivated and caught up. The elder son said he was having a good time spending his money with prostitutes. That's what the Bible says. Oh, he was having a good old time. But his money ran out. And he found himself in need of a recovery. He found himself in need of coming to his senses. So then we can conclude. When we see a person coming to their senses, as in these two different places, and from these two different versions, that if you come to your senses, then you are on the road to recovery. This young man got up from the pit, got up from the mud, got up from the foolishness, and he headed back home. He was on the road to recovery. Is that all right, church? Let me tell you something. We all have been damaged by sin. At best, we are but recovering sin addicts. Is anybody in the house this morning? At best, we are but recovering sin addicts. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, the Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." This morning, I want us to listen to Romans chapter 7 and see if you don't see yourself there. Paul says, beginning at verse 18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin who dwells in me. He says, I find that the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And then he says, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Paul, and just like all of us, find ourselves sometimes struggling just to do that which is right. We need God to help us recover from our sins. David said again in Psalms 51, verse 1 through 4, he said, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness and according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But there's good news, there's good news. In Romans 6 and verse number 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is sin, of sin rather, is death. It says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want to tell you something this morning. I don't know if anybody ever told you this before, but I want to tell you this. You see, we all need to recover. And we're all in different stages of recovery from sin, that is. Some folks are still, as Paul talked about, trapped by it. Trapped, can't get out of it. All caught up in this thing called sin. Amen. Some folks have gotten away and put a little distance between sin and them. But just like alcoholism, one step and you can fall right back in. And some of us are further down the road, but know one thing. We're all recovering from sin. But here's what I want to tell you. And maybe you'll appreciate it. Christ gave us a support group. Christ gave us a support group. You see, because you can't make it on your own. Got to be reminded every now and then that you don't want to go there. You don't want to go back there. You don't want to do this. God has given us a support group. And that support group is called the church. The church has been given to us by God so that we might recover from our sins. So that we might stay in a state of recovery. And so that we might be on the road to total recovery. So that once again we'll be restored. So that once again we will have all of the blessings of God. And stand before God. Whole and complete. Stand before God well. Because we stayed with the plan. Because we stayed with the group. Because we continued to stay on the road to recovery. The lesson is yours this morning. But here's one I want to ask. That's very simple and it's very easy. Are you on the road to recovery? Someone in this audience may have never given their life to Christ, may have never made a commitment to Christ. And I'm not being mean or anything, but I'm simply pointing out the truth. What did Paul say? That they might come to the knowledge of the truth. It's my job as a preacher to point out the truth. If you have never given your life, if you've never made a commitment to Christ, you are caught up. You are trapped in this thing called sin. Because ain't nobody but Jesus Christ who came here to this earth and lived without sin. Every day you say something wrong. Every day you do something wrong. Every day you think something wrong. Am I right about it? But the good news is, if you will hear him, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you will hear the message of Jesus Christ, if you will believe it, Jesus says, therefore I said unto you, if you believe not that I'm he, you shall die in your sins. If you will be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repeated it again in verse 5. In Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, the Bible says that the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he's chosen a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And whereof he's given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. And you must confess Christ. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you got to seal the deal. You've got to be baptized in the waters for the remission of your sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 and verse 38 rather. And again, 1 Peter 3:21, the Bible says, a like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you hear the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It's all about the fact that Christ got up from the grave. No other man has ever gotten up and continued to live. Christ raised Lazarus, but he died again. But when Christ got up, he got up with all power in his hand. He's now sitting at the right hand of God. And everything, according to 1 Corinthians 15, has been given to him. There'll come a day, the final day, when he will turn all things back over to the Father, who put all things under him, all things but the Father. But until that day, he reigns, he rules, it's all about Christ. And Christ has defeated Satan. Christ has cast out demons. Christ has made it possible for you and me to have a recovery this morning. For an opportunity to restore yourself to a spiritual condition that you have not experienced since you were born. Amen. Amen. To have your sins washed away. And not only that, to be a part of the greatest organization on earth. It's not America, but it's the Lord's church. Amen. To be a part of the kingdom of God. And I don't care, you can't find Baptist, Methodist, and all of that other stuff that's out there today. You won't find it in this book. but you will find the Church of Christ. Amen. Romans 16, verse number 16, what does it say? Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ do what? Salute you. If you're here this morning and you know you need to make a change, why would you stay under the influence of Satan? Why would you stay trapped just like a bug in a spider's web? Why would you stay in that condition knowing that the spider gonna come to the web pretty soon and eat you up? Why would you stay trapped when you can free yourself, when you can get loose and you can be on the road to recovery? This morning I want to encourage you. Please come as we together stand and sing.